Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thanks for the privilege it is again to open your word together, to unfold it together so we might understand what you're saying to us. Lord, give us your heart, your mind, as we seek you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today I'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 1. It's on page 1014. I'll just start with verse 1 and read through verse 5 so we get it in context. 1 Peter, it's on page 1014 from the Pew Bible. Peter, an apostle, Asia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Today we'll be looking at verses 3 through 5 in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 through 5, and it talks about our living inheritance. Our living inheritance, that's the theme of those three verses. Have you ever had guests that stayed too long? You know, maybe your guests that got a little bit too comfortable and didn't know it was time for them to leave. You know, the Czechs have a proverb about this, and they say that guests that stay too long, more longer than 4 days, start to smell like dead fish. And they don't like them either. Well, it's important to remember where we belong. And 1 Peter, the whole book, is a refresher course to remind us where we belong. As believers in Jesus Christ, where we belong. Sometimes we get just too comfortable here, don't we? We act as if this is the place where we belong. But you know, we're just passing through. We belong to God. And our citizenship is in heaven, a different place. And this earth, no matter how nice it is to us, how good it is right now, is only our temporary home. Following his introduction to his letter, Peter follows up with a sweeping doxology about the wonder of salvation. The wonder, he's just in awe of the salvation that he has in Christ. You know, when we were suffering, and that's what the people were doing, he's writing to in 1 Peter, we can do more than just cope. We can rejoice in the midst of the suffering that we're going through because of the inheritance that God has for us, for you and for me, that awaits for us in heaven. You know, I like to go through paragraphs in the Greek text as, you know, I prepare these little talks. And verses 5 through 9 is one paragraph. And, you know, it's too big to cover in 30 minutes, so I divided it into two parts. There are 6 different reasons to praise God for our salvation in verses 3 through 9. And we're not able to cover them all. So we'll just cover the first 3 of those 6. about that topic. So three descriptions of our inheritance that is provided by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three descriptions of our inheritance that is provided by the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So point one is God gave us a new birth into a living hope, according to verse 3. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The first reason we can praise God is because we have been born again into a living hope. And this verse, verse 3, describes what God has done for us in the past. It's past tense. Here are living hopes. Living hope refers to a believer's hope that is sure, that is certain, and it's real. It's not false. It's not artificial. It's real. It's certain. It's a hope that rests upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and that too is real. It's never extinguished by unforeseen circumstances. Nothing can come along and blow it out. It's a hope that's there for us. It's given to us because of God's mercy, not because we earned it, not because we're good enough, not because our parents were believers, but because of his mercy, his grace. This living hope is one that has life in it and therefore can give life to us. Because it has life, it grows and becomes greater and more beautiful as time passes. And you know, time destroys most hopes that are based upon the wrong things. People who don't believe, who try to make their own way, have hope, but it's a dying hope. But time only makes a Christian's hope more wondrous and glorious. And this living hope helps us to as we go through potholes and breakdowns in life, it makes life worth living. It makes life worth living, this living hope that we have. You know, for folks who don't know Christ as Savior yet, hope is only wishful thinking. You know, I hope I win the lottery this month. I hope some boy invites me to the prom this year. I hope I make it to the next paycheck. You know what? I hope my truck gets me home today. That's not the same as living hope. Living hope is something different. That kind of hope is based upon the reality of Christ and his resurrection. He rose from the grave. He's a risen Savior. He's a living Savior. And he died that you and me might live. We have life because Christ gave his blood for us and rose from the grave. And he has given us this new hope, this living hope through faith. He gave us a new birth into a living hope. That's point one. Point two, keeps a permanent inheritance for us, according to verse 4. It says in verse 4, "And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." In the first verse, Peter described what God has done for us in the past. And now he moves on to the future. Peter has great news for you and for me. The sure hope of a future inheritance. Now, inheritance is a possession. It's wealth passed down or a legacy that one receives as a member of a family. And this word here that's used for inheritance is found in the, you know, this translation of the Old Testament called the Septuagint. And in that book, it is it's a word used to describe the portions allotted to the tribes of Israel in the promised land. You know, in the midst of their suffering, they could praise God and patiently wait for God's promised future inheritance. This inheritance, which already exists, is kept watch on, is guarded for us by God in heaven, the most secure place in all the universe. You know, that's better than any safety deposit box we could have in a bank. Heaven is the most secure place, and it's guarded by God. In verse 4, Peter uses three words to describe this inheritance. In the NIV, it says, can never perish, never spoil, never fade, kept in heaven for you. First of all, the first word there, anyways, there are three different words there that are used, and they all start in Greek with the same letter, huh, and they end with the same syllable, ton. It doesn't make a difference, but you could see that these guys, Peter and Silas, and Mark was there with him, were pretty good with the Greek language. They were playing word games, so it'd catch our attention to see exactly what they were trying to say. But those three words are used to describe this permanent nature of the inheritance that we have. So first of all, this inheritance can never perish. It's incorruptible. Maybe you have a King James Bible. It might say incorruptible in your Bible. It's untouched by death. You know, hostile armies can't touch it. You know, things that cause other things to perish, like rust, moss, germs, fire, can't touch it, can't ruin this inheritance that we have. It's saved, it's kept for us in a special place. Secondly, it can never spoil. It's unstained and undefiled. You know, yesterday I cleaned our carpet in the gym, and you know, we had a defiled place on the back wall. Somebody had dumped a gallon of coffee on our wall back here. And you know, they took these chemicals and they put it on there, and it became clean. And now it's undefiled today. I mean, it's beautiful the way it looks. Our inheritance is kept that way. It's unstained, undefiled, unstained by evil, not cheapened. It's unpolluted. It's flawless, and it's perfect, and it's waiting for us. Thirdly, it can never fade. And the word there is used for flowers that don't wither or die somehow, this color that's in them. Car carpet's not like that. It's fading. But sometimes flowers in fairy tales and things like that don't wither or die. It's a supernatural beauty that time doesn't impair. Unimpaired by time, never loses its magnificence, this inheritance that we have that's waiting in heaven for us. Our inheritance is immortal. It's not touched by time. It's pure, it's clean, and it's absolutely beautiful, waiting for us. You know, there's a story told about a man who inherited a beautiful southern home in Louisiana. You can picture it. He was really looking forward to living in a house. But you know what? The very night that the original owner died, that house caught fire and burned up. That wonderful house went up in smoke, and there was no inheritance or no insurance. Can you imagine not having insurance on your house? As believers, we have an inheritance that is incorruptible. It's guarded for us. It's not like a house is going to burn up. It's a beautiful thing to look forward to. It is kept for us in a perfect place. So he gave us a new birth and a living hope. That's point number one. He keeps a permanent inheritance for us. That's point number two. Now we're ready for point number three. He shields us by God's power, according to verse 4. And into an inheritance that can never, verse 4 and verse 5. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. So Peter is talking, has spoken in the past, about the past. He's spoken about the future. And now he's going to talk about the present day. It's present tense. We are shielded. We are shielded. We are guarded by God's power. We're kept by God. And this word here for guarded or shielded is a military term used to describe soldiers in a garrison who are constantly guarding a city from the inside. On the inside of the city, making sure nothing gets in, protecting people, God's people. The inheritance is guarded and the heirs are shielded. No matter how great the persecution is, we will never be lost in the process. We're shielded until our salvation is completed. We're shielded until our salvation is totally revealed in the last time when we're finally at home with Jesus. Now, during our 21 years in Prague, we did a lot of traveling back and forth across the what I used to call as the big pond, you know, the Atlantic Ocean. You get in the plane, and 8 hours later, you're somewhere in the United States. And as time progressed, we sometimes were stranded in various locations, various cities, due to bad weather or mechanical problems with the planes. I think the plane fleet, as the jet fleet as a whole, is getting older. It tends to break down more than it used to because of the mileage being put on them. You know, but as long as we had our reservations or our tickets, we were guaranteed to eventually arrive in Cleveland. You know, we never got lost in the process. I remember one time we were stranded in Milan, Italy. Another time we were stranded in Paris. Not a bad place to be stranded. But one time in Cincinnati, and that wasn't so nice. But eventually, because we had a ticket, we had a reservation, they were required to get us home. We, as Christians, are shielded by God's power, which is greater than any airline reservation, and guaranteed that we will arrive home. We're shielded by His power. We're shielded by God's power. We'll close with just a couple questions today about our inheritance. First of all, how comfortable are you on this earth? How comfortable are you in just staying here? Are you looking forward to heaven? It's going to be a lot better. Once you get there, you're going to look back and think, what was I thinking? Yeah, it was nice there, but it was nothing compared to what it's like today. In heaven, where there's no sin, where you're with Jesus, and everybody else is not sinners there. They're all saved by grace in that one beautiful place, and you're serving God forever and ever and ever. It's going to be great. Secondly, are you sure that the work God has done in your salvation is enough? Are you sure that you've put your faith in Christ? I mean, be sure of that. Thirdly, do you know that when you stand before him, his work will measure up? The Bible says it will. You can trust in that. God said it. It's true. You can trust in it. Or are you believing the voices that say otherwise? Those lies out there that are speaking to you and telling you it's not enough. Jesus' death on the cross has purchased us through faith from eternal damnation. And it's enough because he says it's so. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thanks for our salvation. It's so wonderful. And it becomes even greater as we trust in you, as we rely in you, as we think about these things, as we see it working out in our lives, changing us, helping us, guiding us, directing us. Lord, we just pray that you will use your word in our lives to help us grow closer to you, be more sure of the inheritance that waits for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Please join us for the final hymn.
Upon Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thanks for the privilege it is to know you, to trust in you. Lord, we just pray that you'll help each one of us throughout the next week with the different trials, maybe disappointments that we face. Lord, we know that your hope, the hope that we have in you, is enough. And it begins and ends with you. Lord, guide us as we leave here. Protect us. Teach us more about you. Help us to share that with other people as it becomes more and more real to us. In Jesus' name I pray.